In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, our theme verse for this morning's message, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." The English Standard Version of the Bible, the one that we have in our pews here and we preach from at Calvary, uses the word time 683 times. Time over time does matter. And for all of us, time is running out. Father in heaven, we commit this small part of the time in our lives to you right now. Help us to set aside everything we're thinking about and dwelling on and allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us so that we might be able to go forward with the time we have left to do what you would have us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. If you arrived this morning by 9:30, it means that you were on time for the service. If you were on time, then we say you were on time for the praise and worship time, as well as hearing this morning's message. Many of us here enjoy sports, so we know what it means to take a time out. Others of us know what it means to be subjected to a time out, usually a lovely chair provided for quiet meditation regarding one's behavior. When Geneva School was here, one of their classrooms was right across from my office, and I appropriated this from their room, typed it up, and it says this. It was attached to their timeout section. Timeout seat. When you are having a tough day, God is still there. Use your time here to pray and ask God to help you make better choices. Use the Bible if you would like. If you find a verse that really helps you, write it on a card and keep it with you all day as a reminder. It is never too late to start making choices that will please your teacher, parents, and your Heavenly Father. And the verse of Scripture, Hebrews 12:11, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful." Now, we have some parents here. We have some grandparents. I just happen to have a supply of these. If you have a timeout chair that needs some help and encouragement, feel free to come see me after the service and we'll provide it to you free of charge. Some here today may be the owner of a timeshare. That is a week of time you own somewhere in the world and you pay for it for the rest of your life. Many of us work overtime in hopes of being paid time and a half. You may describe the car you drive as timeless, which really means I just can't afford to buy a new one. No matter what we choose to do with our time, invest it, waste it, use it, take it off, plan it, share it, complain about it, cherish it, guard it, wish for more of it, or just simply accept it, one truth remains. We all are running out of time. Therefore, if time is running out for all of us, how should each of us prepare for the time God plans for us in 2016? By the way, if you like to complain about not having enough time, in 2016 you have an extra 24 hours. We call it leap year. So, first then, let's look at some of the things for which time is running out. You can follow along in the notes that were in your bulletin this morning. And we'll just kind of look at that word time, beginning with the letter T. We see there the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Time is running out for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Galatians 4:4. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son." But Hebrews 9:28 says, "So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time." And we have in Matthew 24 a whole chapter that kind of tells us what are some of the things that we can be looking for. And he gives us a description of our world today, but he says, don't get too excited yet. He says, because this is just the beginning of birth pains. Now, some people over the years have tried to say exactly when the Lord Jesus is going to return. We'll leave that one alone because we know it's impossible. So what does it talk about in Matthew 24? It says there will be wars. There will be rumors of wars. It says there will be persecution of believers. In my recent memory, this is the first time in the United States, 2015, we actually had people who were murdered for standing up for their faith in Jesus Christ. When they were asked, do you believe in God, stand up? They did, and they were shot and killed in our country. Oh, we always hear about it someplace else and pray about it, but it happened here in this country this year. It says there will be famines, there'll be earthquakes, and it says many will fall away and hate each other. Well, I was looking at some interesting statistics as I was preparing for today, and here's one that our son sent to me. It's USA mass shootings. Now, a mass shooting is defined as four or more people being shot in one incident. That's what's going to blow you away in our country. In the 1,066 days leading up to December 3rd of this year, there have been 1,052 mass shootings in the United States. Almost one every day in our country where four or more people are shot by a gunman. Those statistics come out to 3,817 have been injured in those shootings, and 1,347 have been killed. Many will fall away and hate each other. And then it goes on to say that the gospel will be proclaimed throughout the whole world, and then the Lord will return. And 2 Timothy 3:1 says that the last days will be times of difficulty. Well, it's happening. And then it says in Jude 18, scoffers following their own ungodly passions in the last times. What a description of the world in which we are living today. So time could be running out because we are getting close to getting the gospel preached to the whole world. According to Wycliffe Bible translators, out of almost 7,000 languages in the world, we're down to 1,800 that haven't had some kind of translation work done in it. 1,800, that's all that are left. And with our computers and with our technology and social media getting the gospel out there, it's becoming easier all the time. Although no man knows the day or the hour, if you hear a trumpet blast, take a look around. Who knows? It might be that time. The I. Time is running out for improving your service record. Improving your service record. I like to go back to the Israelites to give us a good shot in the arm example of what God doesn't want in his church today. They were chronic, complacent complainers. And you could just go on and on and on. But for instance, just quickly to remind you, as they started out their journey leaving Egypt, they complained that there was too much water. It was called the Red Sea. God took care of that. Then when they get across the Red Sea and on into their journey, they complained there wasn't enough water. Moses kind of lost it and struck a rock, and God provided, and Moses lost his inheritance there to see the promised land. Then they said there was not enough food. God provided the manna and the quail. Then they said there was too much of the same kind of food. Sound like God's people sometimes? Then they complained that we don't have a God that we can see. So they asked Aaron to build one for them. That didn't work out too well either. James 1:22 says, we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Time is running out to improve our service record. In our household, I happen to be blessed with a wife who loves basketball, and she happens to love the Boston Celtics, and so we get along well. And so even though she's from out in the Midwest originally, but listen to this. Time is running out for two teams. These two teams have a combined record of 7 wins and 55 losses, and we're almost at halfway through the season. Who are they? They're the 76ers and they're the Lakers. But then there are other teams that are really improving their serve. Their combined record is just the opposite. 54 wins and 7 losses. Who are they? They're the Warriors and they're the Spurs. You see, a lot has to do with who you are, but what goes into your service. So let me ask you this. What does your service record look like at this time? Are you doing it with strength, courage, and gladness? Or, Psalm 100 verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. I'm looking out at you. Some of you had some rough, tough Christmas day. Where's the gladness? You know, it's not easy to preach to. Read Psalm 100 while I'm preaching. It might change the look on your face. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Now, JC's always good for a smile. Thank you, JC. And down here, this gentleman, he's always good for a smile from the top of his head to the bottom of his chin. It's always bright and shiny. But a lot of you, did you look in the mirror? Serve the Lord with gladness. So, are you sitting back and waiting to get done unto? See, I think our church pews are filled with people who are more on the side of waiting to get done unto than say, here I am, I want to do it. What about that Salvation Army bell ringer? Blind. Did you hear about him this week? Last week? He got beat up at McDonald's on his lunch break because he was blind and he cut in line, probably didn't even know it, and this man and woman who were together beat him up and they threw his kettle in his face. Improving your service record. But we can give him A+. You know what he did? He went to the hospital, they cleaned him up, took care of whatever he needed to take care of, and he said to his boss, give me my kettle back, I've got work to do. And he went back, and he continued to serve. M, time is running out for more tomorrows. James chapter 4, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. This is verse 14. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or do that. People living in Monaco in 2014 had the most tomorrows. The average life expectancy, and if you want to live a long time, move to Monaco, it was 90 years. Or, putting it in the terms of our marbles, that's 4,680 marbles at one marble per week. People living in South Africa have the fewest tomorrows, 49 years on average. Putting it in marbles, that's 2,548 marbles at one per week. Now, how many tomorrows are there for those of us living in this country? Well, we are at 79 years in 2014. That's 4,108 marbles at one per week. They're little marbles. Now, I'm going to tell you how many are in that one. You know why? Because out of my 4,108 marbles, they have now been reduced, according to these calculations, to just 676 marbles left. That's a lot of marbles I've lost. And be careful. Because some of you are also my age, and you've lost just as many of your marbles. But think about it, 676 marbles, according to the life expectancy chart, I got left. Now, my mother's jar was emptied out years ago. She's at 93 and counting. And so she keeps going, so she's got no more marbles to work with. She keeps going with an empty jar. But looking at 79 marbles, 79 years, I've only got 676 left. So E, time is running out for enduring sound teaching. for the world to be enduring sound teaching. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." Isn't that a great verse? That's why so many churches are in trouble today, because they go out and hire pastors that make them feel good. I don't think there's a single pastor on this church staff that ever preached anything from this pulpit that'll make you feel good, just for the sake of making you feel good. Now, you did some feel-good messages, but they have a purpose. But these people do nothing but want to make you feel good. Why? A lot of it has to do with the postmodern generation. The postmodern generation says there's no standard of right or wrong. Christianity is just one of many religions. And they say, does it feel good? If it does, do it. There is a higher power, but who knows what it is? Experience is more important than teaching, and they totally ignore 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And there isn't one of us here that doesn't need all of that. I'm getting very irritated again with some companies. I think, I can't say for sure, but I've heard now 2 or 3 different companies advertising Christmas week on TV with the slogan built into their advertising, "Sometimes you just have to break the rules." Advertising geared towards our children. Which rule do you break? Enduring sound teaching. Biblically, theologically, yes. But it even makes sense not to break the rules. Otherwise, why would there have been rules? Yeah, tell that to the child gets run over by a car who decided to break the rule and not do what the crosswalk sign said to do. How about the war on Christmas? And I can go on and on. But I read, an editorial in the New York Post dated 12/14. And it starts off this way: "I'm Jewish, and even I think the war on Christmas needs to end. Hey, this Jew is angered by your attempts to destroy the December 25th holiday honoring the birth of Jesus Christ." There are allies out there. Yeah. P.S. 169 in Sunset Park in Brooklyn has a new principal. She got rid of Thanksgiving. I didn't know Thanksgiving was a religious holiday. I thought everybody was supposed to be thankful. But she says it's too religious. So it is. Thanksgiving is now a harvest festival. Can you imagine millions of people lining 6th Avenue in New York City to watch Macy's Harvest Festival Day Parade? We can't even get our tongues around that, can we? She got rid of Christmas parties and put in winter celebrations. She says you can have no angels and no stars. They'll offend somebody. Christmas is a national holiday, but we are not supposed to use that word anymore. Have you seen how awkward some people are trying to get around it? I mean, yeah, you got it. Calvary Baptist Church, we always will preach and celebrate the Christ of Christmas, Easter, and his coming again. Starbucks, I'm putting you away. So there's good news. I got a second time there for you. Yes, when you have to work a little bit if you want to remember anything. Good news, there is still time left for being T, transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world." See, we got a lot of people in our evangelical churches today that forgot that verse is in there. "But do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day." Isn't that beautiful? Have you met some of the really older folks whose outer cells are really wasting away, but they've still got that spirit? They haven't changed over time. They said, yeah, I can't run up and down the stairs. Even I decided to sit up here because I was alone, you know. I didn't want to keep running up and down and up and down, because if I fell, you would all laugh at me. See, I get smart. My outer self is not quite what it used to be. So there are three ways to invest our time in 2016. Number one, be not conformed to this world. Simple command. It means a lot. We could spend all day talking about it. But in other words, it's talking about a pattern of sinful and ungodly behavior. If you have allowed it to creep into your life in 2015, deal with it before the bell rings and the ball drops and all goes according to plan. Two, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. There should be noticeable change in behavior. If you are today what you were January 1st, something's not right. There's got to be some kind of noticeable change. Thirdly, be doing the will of God. He says, if you'll do my will, in that verse he says, I'll give you good things, there'll be acceptable things, and there'll be perfect things. The new orientation in our thinking leads to a new orientation in our behavior. Things happen, but we need to make a change. My wife and I went through this just a couple weeks ago. Took the laundry down to the Chateau Villa laundry room. I have one desire when I retire, that the laundry facility is either in the apartment or on the same floor. But it's 28 stairs down, it's across the parking lot into that facility. When you're done, coming back 28 stairs up and back into the apartment. So opened up the washing machine and the steam came billowing out of it and about burned my face. I said, this is my permapress load. Do you know what a permapress load looks like on hot water wash? The machine has been busted for a month and nobody's done anything about it. Nobody put up a sign. I needed to have some renewal, or you would have been laughing if you had seen me in those pants when they came out of that washing machine. Cost $40 at the dry cleaners. But the wrinkles are gone. What needs renewing in 2016? Your passport, your license, your registrations, your subscriptions to magazines, but make sure your list includes your mind. Your mind. Secondly, time is running out, but there is still time left for being intercessory in your walk with God. Intercessory in your walk with God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, right to the point. Rejoice always. That means smile. You know? I know you can have a bad day, but all of you can't have a bad day at the same day. Not at Calvary, we don't allow that. Secondly, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So what do we have here? Number one, be joyful for what God has done. If you don't have a smile on your face, think back over this year. What is one thing God has done for you that you can rejoice over? It can be simple. It can be huge. The other night, I'm going to tell a tale on myself. The other night, I get over to the stop, getting ready for all this. I was here for a couple hours. Anyway, and so I get over there. It's late. And I see the bus turning from West 57th Express bus onto 7th Avenue. They don't do that. They come from the park. I said, all right, and he pulls over. Of course, it was one of the oldest ones. And the police were there running their usual stuff, and they park in the bus stop. I think that's in the laws of New York City. All police cars park in bus stops, so people have to go out in the middle of the street and risk their lives to get in the bus. And the bus was so old, it wouldn't lean. And the road tips a little bit. I got this to go. I said, okay, took my baggage, put it up in there. I grabbed the two sides and, whoop, and up into there. And I said to the gentleman, I said, I'll be right back with my pass. He says, have you taken this route before? I said, all the time. He says, I've never driven it in my life. Could you help me? I said, sure, I'll be guide to. I'll sit here in the front seat. I mean, literally, he knew nothing. So when I sat down, started to dig in my bag, he said, oh, no, you don't have to pay. He says, you help me get through this route. That's enough for me. I said, okay, if you insist. So we got all the way home. Perfectly. I don't know what he did on the rest of Staten Island because I get off the second stop. But the interesting thing was, we can rejoice always. The next morning, I went to get my bus pass. Wasn't in my bag. My other keys weren't, nothing was in my bag. I had left everything on my desk. My wife had a spare bus pass because we now have those color-coded ones for over 65, you know, and you can't use the green one if you're a yellow one. And anyway, so she had, keeps the extra spare just in case her husband messes up. And if I had gone to get my bus pass, I never would have had it to pay. God gives us little things to rejoice in. Do you think I will ever do that again? No way. I learn from my mistakes. Be joyful. Secondly, be constant in prayer. This is more than an attitude. It is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. And then thirdly, be thankful for all circumstances. God is in control no matter what. Matthew Henry, who wrote the commentary, the famous scholar, was once accosted by thieves and robbed of his purse. He wrote these words in his diary. Let me be thankful first because I was never robbed before. Good way to look at it. Secondly, I want to be thankful because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Thirdly, I want to be thankful because although they took my all, it wasn't that much. I like that one. And fourthly, I want to be thankful because it was I who was robbed and not I who was doing the robbing. He was a man who understood the verse and understood prayer as a lifestyle. I was dying to use one of my Christmas presents. My wife gave me the book, The Quotable Oswald Chambers. So I figured he's got to have said something good about prayer, right? So I found it. Listen to what Oswald Chambers says. Prayer is other than meditation. It is that which develops the life of God in us. When a man is born from above, the life of the Son of God begins in him, and he can either starve that life or nourish it. Prayer is the way the life of God is nourished. Our Lord nourished the life of God in him by prayer. He was continually in contact with his Father. The reason for intercession is not that God answers prayer, but that God tells us to pray. M, time is running out, but there is still time left for being motivated by the love of Christ. Being motivated by the love of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:14, one of the verses that kept me through going in 30 years of child evangelism fellowship, says, for the love of Christ controls or compels or constrains us. In other words, it's the love of Christ that motivates us. If anything else is motivating you to come here to Calvary on a Sunday morning, then go home. It's time for change. It's the love of Christ that should be our motivator. Our love for Christ or Christ's love for us. It goes both ways. They both work. Christ's love put him on the cross to take our punishment for our sin. And our love for Christ puts us on the cross, figuratively speaking, day by day as we go out and we step out into the world. Christ's love was demonstrated on the cross. One man who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. And there are two possible motivations for every believer. One is the love of Christ. The other is the love of self. What's in it for me? There is still time to give yourself a motivational checkup before 2016. Why? Because it affects who you are, what you do, how you give to the Lord's work, what you give to the Lord's work, how you talk, what you say, how you respond, if you serve, why you serve, where you'll serve, how you treat your wife, your husband, your family, how you treat co-workers, and how you view those lost and dying without Christ. E, engaged. Engage. 1 Chronicles 28:2. David is speaking to his son Solomon in front of the whole nation, telling him what he needs to do to build the temple. And he says this, be strong and courageous and do it. Do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. God clearly promises for those who are engaged in active duty in his ministry, strength, courage, encouragement, and a partnership for all who will take the time to end this year and begin the new one to do it. To do what? Well, to become engaged, one, in serving the Christ of Christmas, become engaged in sharing the gospel with those waiting to hear the good news, and to become engaged in studying the Word of God, and perhaps the most important for the corporate body, to become engaged in strengthening the church, both here on West 57th Street and around the world. Well, let's wrap it up. By the time 2016 arrives, we all will have lost another marble. No two ways about it. There is still time left to make sure each marble remaining in your jar will truly count by being transformed by the renewal of your mind, by being intercessory in your walk with God, by being motivated by the love of Christ, and by being engaged in strengthening the church. Remember, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. Now is the time for each of us to do it and to stop sitting around waiting to get done unto. God started it. We need to do it so he can finish it with his return. Father in heaven, thank you for the year that's about to close. Thank you for the new untouched year ahead of us. May we take the time to make sure we're ready to serve you appropriately. In Jesus' name, amen.